I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. You can email the show right now. We're live. Email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We're going to talk about Kevin McCarthy and his pack here in just a second. Then we're going to get to questions about the draft, about using the same tactics they use. Should you actually go to Disney even if someone else is paying? So many other things we have to get to on this show, and it's going to be fun. I did see this one and it made me laugh. You know how the reason I say celebrities don't run for office? Every presidential cycle, there's always some celebrity like The Rock who will pop his head up and say something in an interview. Well, yeah, I'm considering about running. I'm thinking about running. Matthew McConaughey loves to do this all the time. I might run for Senate here in Texas. You know, man. Yeah. But they never end up doing it. Why is that? Because being a politician would suck. You just think about the daily lives these people lead. They are flying around all the time. You're never home. Never see your family, flying back and forth to D.C. and back there. Yes, they make great money, $165,000 a year, something like that. I forget they change it, but it's great money. But it's not millions and millions and millions. You have to ask people for money all the time. You have to campaign. You get griped at for a living. People yell at you from every side. And the job itself is horrible. Yeah, we see all the televised hearings where they're yelling at each other, and you get to interrogate Christopher Ray.
This is you on July the 12th in the House. You were asked directly by Jim Jordan, do you think...
Yeah, anyway, that's not the point. But most of those meetings are painfully boring. You're sitting there listening to testimony from this guy, that guy. So why do they do it? You become a politician... Most of them, not all, most of them become politicians because they want access to the things rich people have without having to actually accomplish anything. You know, rich people. The rich people live lives, and this is not anti-rich people. If you're a rich person listening, they live lives that are completely different. And I have seen both sides of life, so I'm telling you, I know how different it is. I understand what it's like. I've lived in a mobile home before, and I've been to these fancy events put on by millionaires and billionaires. I've seen the difference. I've seen the private jet life, luxury resorts. Like, they just don't live lives that are similar to people who live paycheck to paycheck. And that's why the politician does it. Headline, Kevin McCarthy uses PAC to lavish cash on high-end resorts, private jets, and fine dining. Private jets. Steak dinners. High-end resorts. Only Kevin McCarthy's just a member of Congress. He's in leadership, so he gets a little more, but I think he gets $180,000 a year. You're not flying private and staying at luxury resorts all the time on $180,000 a year. But once you're a politician, you raise all that money through your PAC, for your PAC. Spend it all on yourself. Kevin McCarthy, making $180,000 a year, gets to live like somebody who makes $10 million a year. And that's a pretty good life. That's why you can't get these daggone people to retire ever. Jesse, asking for a friend, he puts in all capital letters. I had a friend recently tell me if his kids ever get drafted, they're not going. If they're going to be forced to fight and die against someone, they might as well fight against the tyrannical government rather than for it. How do you see this playing out? asking for a friend because I would never say this. Look, I don't know, man. I don't know. The World War III thing, it's always out there. And it's really out there right now because of how weak and pathetic our president is. How weak and pathetic these people, the weakness they project to the whole world. It's not just that, hey, this foreign policy is wrong and they made this mistake. It really genuinely matters. It's not just funny audio bits for talk radio. It's
but not, my focus is just stay focused.
It's not just that stuff. It matters that the president of the United States of America looks like a half-dead old man.
I don't know. What's his name? Bob. Anyway, where's Jill? I need to go poop. But
that is a big deal on the world stage. We're being attacked relentlessly now over there in the Middle East. The Houthi rebels and others are sending drones at us. The Biden administration just came out and announced that we're not gonna do anything. We're wary of doing it. We don't want to upset anybody. So it makes World War III more likely than it was before. Now, that doesn't mean World War III is coming, but the threat is always there, right? So that leads us to the draft. The most patriotic Americans have been the ones fighting and dying in America's wars. It hasn't been big city libs fighting and dying in America's wars forever. It's been patriotic Americans who love the country. The American right, their children, have been the ones traditionally who have filled up the military and fought and died for the country. And now they're not only leaving the military in droves. You should see my emails from guys who are currently in. They're leaving the military in droves, and they're not joining the military. So our military is filling up with a bunch of commie scum, but there aren't enough of them because they have a recruiting crisis, and the commie scum don't want to fight for the country they've been trained to hate anyway. So if World War III rolls around, there's going to be a draft. There will. The people, the evil people who run this country, they're not going to miss out on enriching themselves and helping their poll numbers just for your son's life. They'll happily throw away as many lives as humanly possible to maintain their position of power. Do I need to remind you that Joe Biden, after 13 of our warriors died in Afghanistan, was so aggravated that he had to go meet with the parents when their bodies came back, that he checked his watch multiple times. How much longer do I have to be here? Just not even, didn't even really pretend to genuinely care. They can't muster that. They're going to be a draft. How are you going to handle that? Look, it's going to be decision-making time. I tell you all the time to stay legal, do I not? Stay legal in an evil system that is looking for a reason to throw you in prison. Remember, that's what they're going to do after the Trump convictions. They're going to round up people on the right and throw them in prison. That's half the point of the conviction, to round up their political enemies and throw them in prison. If you're going to do something like defy the draft, skip town, you know, head to Canada or whatever those people were doing during Vietnam, I can't tell you otherwise. You know, you do what you do. You do what you think is right. But you start getting on the other side of the law in a country that's dying for you to get on the other side of the law, it's going to be a problem. Remember, they don't fear you breaking the law, the communists who run our justice system and everything. They don't fear that. They want that. They want you to break the law. They want you to have conversations that can be twisted around as threatening or illegal. They want that. Remember that story we ran? I think it was this week or last week, about a teenage kid, a Catholic kid. He got caught up in, I think it was Facebook groups, some online social media groups, and he ends up putting some stuff out there that's a little too spicy, and they dug into this, and they found out the guy who was prompting this kid to do these things, egging him on, poking him on, was an FBI agent. Remember Randy Weaver? Randy Weaver, an FBI informant, came to him and said, hey, here's a shotgun. I need you to shave this much off the barrel. He wanted him to shave the barrel off, making it an illegal weapon. He handed him the gun and said, do this illegal thing. Randy Weaver didn't. He didn't shave enough off to make it illegal. Gave it back to the FBI guy. The FBI guy measures it, finds out he didn't commit a crime, hands it back to Randy Weaver and says, no, you missed some. Shave off some more. Randy Weaver does. Next thing you know, the HRT, the FBI, quote, SWAT team guys, murdered his wife and his dog and his son. That's the FBI. They're dying for you to do something illegal. This is why I have told you to stay legal. This is why I tell you to stay out of these blue areas with your political protests. No, we're going to D.C. We're going to march on the courthouse in D.C. Have you ever talked to a January 6th political prisoner? How evil the D.C. justice system is? They're not afraid of you marching on D.C. They're dying for you to march on D.C. They can't wait to throw you in prison by the rest of them. All right? Keep that in mind. Legal. All right, let's have a talk about putting our money where our morals are. There's a Disney conversation coming. Before we have this Disney conversation, let's talk about putting your money where your morals are for your phone, with your phone service. There are a million ways we can't really escape funding these dirtball companies, right? You're going to buy a new car. Good luck finding a car manufacturer that's not putting out rainbow propaganda. You don't have to stress that with your cell phone company if you switch to Pure Talk. Do you know that Pure Talk hires Americans for customer service? They hire Americans, and it's based in America. When you deal with Pure Talk, you deal with someone who's not only pleasant, but speaks and understands English. Isn't that a nice, frankly, odd thing these days? You don't see that anywhere, but you get that at Pure Talk. That's how much America means to them. Same great 5G network. Dial pound 250 and say, Jesse Kelly, it's time to make the switch. Save a fortune. Fund the company that shares your values. Pound 250, say, Jesse Kelly.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. Speaking of the justice system, one last thing on that before we get to this Disney thing. This is a little dig up by producer Michael. Tucker Carlson, this is from a while back, isn't it, Michael? It's from a while back, yeah. 1 month ago? Okay, from a month ago, Tucker was sitting down with that Martin Shkreli guy. I think that's how you say it. Swanson? Anyway, it doesn't matter. Whatever. That big pharma guy who got sent to prison, kind of a villain type, which I always thought was hilarious. But listen to this little tidbit. This is not the justice system overseas. Listen to these facts.
But when they say, are you listening? And you basically said, well, you said yes, but what you meant clearly was no. They kind of have to hurt you after you do that, don't they?
Yeah, and I felt like, at that point I'd already been arrested, so what more can they do?
We'll send you to prison for 7 years?
Sure. I think that's a foregone conclusion, right? I mean, at some point, when you have a 99.5% conviction rate, the idea of the burden is on the state to prove the charges. What burden? The burden's on the defendant. And when you have the media indicting you every day, and a media that will refuse to sort of say, well, here's why he thinks he's innocent. And one of my greatest triumphs, and this sounds very strange, is actually being found not guilty of 5 out of 8 charges, because it's almost impossible. But, my parents are from a communist country, and they fled Albania to come to America and make it in the big city. And I sort of said, well, I'm not going to sort of like bow down to the government, because that's not kind of why we came here. And I think that, again, what you get taught in school is that you're free to do and say as you wish, and the government can't meddle in your life if they feel like it. And I learned differently, and I think again, that I'm not the first one, and I think the DOJ's prosecution of former president is just lays bare the kind of fraud that the DOJ is, which is basically we'll prosecute anyone for anything.
Yeah,
and it doesn't make a difference whether you're guilty or not, because it's a foregone conclusion that you are guilty.
Pretty heavy, right? It's heavy. It's hard for me to take. As someone who loves this country, as someone who would die for this country, it is, and we've had this talk before, you and me, It's hard for me to accept how evil my country has become. But wrap your mind around what he just said. 99.5% conviction rate? That's a kangaroo court on par with anything you would have seen in Stalin's Soviet Union. And we talk about land of the free stuff. Are we? Is that what we are now? Oh, Vladimir Putin locks up his political opponents. Democrats are about to do that in 6 months to theirs. Democrats have been locking up January 6th protesters for 3 years, have announced their intention to continue to do so. Oh, but war crimes. We sent a Reaper drone after 10 innocent people in Afghanistan, 6 of them adorable children. We murdered those people. And then we announced that not only is nobody getting fired, nobody's at fault. And what did John Kirby call it, Chris? A failure of process or something like that? Is that what he said? A failure of process. Now, we can point to war crimes here and war crimes. That's a war crime. You just vaporized 6 children. And then nobody even got fired. Someone should be arrested for that. You understand that? Somebody, yeah, go ahead, Chris.
How does it strike you that no one is held accountable? Because I know how it strikes a lot of people around the world that you can get away with murder and nobody's punished for it.
I do understand that. We appreciate that not everybody's going to support this decision. What I can tell you is we looked at this thing very, very comprehensively. And again, we acknowledge that there were procedural breakdowns. Processes were not executed the way they should have been. But it doesn't necessarily indicate that that an individual or individuals have to be held to account for that. But look,
discipline inside the Pentagon at all? I mean, maybe there are no charges brought up, but is anyone demoted or disciplined for what happened that day?
What we are going to do, there's not going to be individual discipline as a result of this, Willie. But what we are going to do is learn from this, and we're going to enact and improve our procedures and our processes to try to make sure this doesn't happen again.
10 people murdered, and the American government's response was, oh, we'll learn from this. Just a failure of process. It's a sobering wake up for what kind of country you live in, isn't it? What kind of country I live in. And I'm glad we talk about these things, even though these things can be hard to accept, because it's our job to inform Norm. That rhymed. Chris, that rhymed. Did you hear what, Chris? That did. It's our job to inform Norm. You can expect me to say that a lot now on the show. Now, I really like how that came out. Inform Norma doesn't sound as good, but inform Norm. We have to inform Norm. Chris, that you have to admit, that's impressive. You're impressed. I don't know why you're not acting impressed. I'm impressed with me. That's who I'm impressed with. You know why? Maybe it's because my T levels are so high. Maybe that's it. Because I haven't been taking a male vitality stack from Chalk for like a week. I think it's been 2 years now. You remember that email we read yesterday from that guy who emailed in? His T levels are up to 58%. 58% after 2 years. And look, 90 days gets you 20%. You have any idea how good you're going to feel? But let me tell you something else. Start your day out with some Chalk Lit powder. Vitamins, minerals, everything you need for the day. It puts you on the right plane for the day. Chalk.com. Chalk.com. It's Christmas special time. Go get you and your family healthier and ready for the new year. Chalk.com promo code Jesse is how you get those sales. So go get some, all right? Dear DJ Shogun, the mother-in-law wants to take us to Disney. I told my wife I don't want to give my money to gay Disney, but she says it's for the kids. Her mom is offering to pay for the flights from Nebraska and the Airbnb. This allows us to save about 7 G's. He says, what, Chris, on a trip like that? What would you do? You know how it is trying to protect kids from all the smut. Okay. My answer is probably not going to be as simple on this as you think it is, but let's talk about that next.
I've got an animal inside of me.
This is Jesse Kelly. You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. Both Nate and I are journalists who moonlight as poker players. We've both won, and I have to say lost, hundreds of thousands of dollars playing poker. And poker is a lens that we're going to use to approach this entire show, because poker isn't just about playing cards. It's actually about how to make good decisions. It's an entire framework for thinking about the world.
In addition to poker, we'll be talking about the wide world of gambling, so sports betting, for example, plus the news, politics, it is an election year, and personal decisions, too.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
Tune into Risky Business every Thursday.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, reminding you, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Now back to the question. Guy emailed in case you're just now joining us. Mother-in-law is offering to take him and the kids, paying for everything down to Disney. They pay for the flights, they pay for the Airbnb, says it'll save him about $7,000. What would I do? Well, you're going to hate my answer, but here's the truth. Me personally, I would not go. We will not consume Disney products in our home. We don't go to the new Marvel movie because it's owned by Disney. We canceled Disney Plus 2-3 years ago. That's a no. We do the best we can. I'm sure because it's such a big company, they own so much. I'm sure that I've screwed this up, but we do not support Disney. I have a unique hatred for Disney. It's one thing for San Francisco to go crazy with all the LGBTQ stuff. That's San Francisco. Disney is a company that is made for kids. Its consumers are children. Disney is evil. To take that company and then tell little boys they're actually little girls, tell little girls they're actually little boys, that's evil. That is evil beyond belief. People were mad at Ron DeSantis for going after Disney with all that tax stuff. I'd said at the time, and I still maintain, not that this is possible in this country, but it should be, that's way better than they deserve. The National Guard should have walked into Disney and emptied out the park and then demoed the thing to the ground. You have a gigantic corporation that is aiming its guns at little kids. That's evil. That is evil. There are dudes dressed up like princesses in the princess store now. I don't support Disney. However, I also don't judge people either. And at a time like this, when finances are such a squeeze, this is the worst answer ever to this question, and I know you're going to get mad at me for it, and I don't blame you. It would probably depend on this. If my family was down and out and we were watching our standard of living disappear and we can't afford this and we can't afford that and we can't afford this and we can't afford that, and then someone like my mother-in-law came along and offered to flat out pay for a vacation so I can take the wife and kids out of town for a week, I might do it. If financially I'm being laid to waste, I might do it. So I know that's a horrible answer. Well, it depends on how much money I had, but if you're in a desperate spot, maybe do it. Doesn't sound like you are. I don't know. It's a short email. If I had the money, absolutely not. And I'll tell you something else. I'd tell my kids why we weren't going. I would. When I canceled Disney Plus, I didn't do it behind everyone's back. Oh, well, let's wait till the wife takes the kids to school and then I'll cancel it. No, I called the entire family into the room when I pulled up the website and canceled everything online. And I told them exactly why we were canceling it. It's important they understand the why. Jesse, can you explain to people that the concern about Chinese involvement with Taiwan is not simply about computer chips, but more about the geographical and strategical presence of Taiwan? It seems to me that Taiwan would be a gateway for China and a threat to Guam, Philippines, and the region in general. Look, China's on the move. China sees themselves as being the preeminent superpower in the world. They do not respect the United States of America. They have said as much on camera. Remember, right after Biden got elected and Blinken, our Secretary of State, went and sat down with China, and the Chinese guy says to him on camera, flat behind the microphone, "You don't get to talk to us from a position of strength anymore." That's quite a thing to say to the United States of America. China wants global domination. You've heard of the Belt and Road Initiative? The Belt and Road Initiative. If you haven't, it's worth looking up, but I'll simplify it for you. The extremely dumbed down yet accurate version of it is this. China is buying loyalty and buying influence in various countries around the world, South America, really Africa. Africa has so many rare earth minerals that China will go into your country. Let's say you're hard up. Maybe your government's even on shaky ground. You know, there's a new revolution every day in Africa. And you come in with China and you say, "Hey, don't worry about that. Tell you what we're going to do. We're going to come in here with our money, with our advisors, with our everything, and we're going to get things stabilized. We're going to get you clean roads, better schools. We'll get the population, the food, the things they need to calm down. We're going to take care of your country and make sure your power is solidified." "Oh, what do we want from you? Oh, that cobalt mine over there? I know everyone wants it. We would like exclusive access to that cobalt mine. And by the way, your ports, whenever we have, let's say, a naval vessel that needs to dock for something, we get to use your port. Sound good? You do want to stay in power, right? Sound good?" That's what they're doing around the world. As far as Taiwan goes, you're correct about Taiwan's strategic location. But remember the history of all this. Remember, after the Chinese emperors fell and the dynasties went down, China was ruled by warlords and various warlords, this warlord in this part and this warlord in that part. They were ruled by warlords for the longest time. But then Chiang Kai-shek is his name. He was part of the nationalists. They really rose in China. And then Mao and the communists rose in China. And they fought this horrific long war between each other. At the end of World War II, Chiang Kai-shek and the nationalists had been so worn down to the nubs after fighting the Japanese that they were eventually defeated by Mao and the communists. But Chiang Kai-shek and his nationalists, they were not wiped out. They left and they went to Taiwan, Formosa. If you read about it, you'll read about Formosa, but they went to Taiwan. Mao, because he's a communist and they have to destroy and dominate everything, Mao was gearing up to send some Chinese boats into the water and go over there and finish him off. Mao was never going to allow Chiang Kai-shek and the nationalists to just have an island over there. We, the Americans, we stepped in and said, nope. And remember how absurd our Navy was at the end of World War II? Frankly, we overspent and overprepared on our Navy. Our Navy dominated the entire planet at the end of World War II, and there was nothing anyone on the planet could do about it. Then we stepped in with that gigantic Navy and said, "No, actually, you're not going to go over there and try to take care of Chiang Kai-shek," because we were backing Chiang Kai-shek, obviously, and not the communists. And that really is the story of why Taiwan is a thing. That's a very simplified version, but that's the story of why Taiwan is a thing. And that has bothered China to no end to this day. Wrap your mind around this. In maps, if you're in China and you read a map, you will not come across a map that has Taiwan listed on there. China still considers it to simply be part of China. It grinds their gears. And remember this, one last little tidbit. We're going to move on. We have a bunch of other Ask Dr. Jesse questions. I'm way behind on these things. We even have to talk about peanut butter and jelly. Anyway, they're about to have elections in Taiwan in January. There's a good chance, I shouldn't say a good chance, there's a chance, I don't know how good it is, I don't have the poll numbers, that a pro-Chinese government is going to be elected in Taiwan. And they're essentially just going to hand the place over to China anyway. Why hasn't China invaded yet? Well, they might get the place without firing a shot. And when you want all their infrastructure, it's better if you don't bomb it first. So that's a good thing. All right? All right. Let me talk to you about something. Speaking of money, Christmas season is here. Family, friends gathering together. What if I could get you a free 10-pound Christmas ham? Would that be something you're interested in? A free 10-pound Christmas ham? Obviously, the answer to that question is yes. Do you know that Good Ranchers is giving out a free one right now? That's what they're doing for the Christmas season. When you go to goodranchers.com and use the code Jesse and subscribe to any one of their meat boxes, the best meat in the world delivered to your front door. No more getting meat from the grocery store. Delivered to your front door. When you go do that right now, you get a free 10-pound glorious Christmas ham with it. How about having Christmas dinner taken care of for free by Good Ranchers? That's a pretty good deal, right? GoodRanchers.com, code Jesse is how you get that deal. GoodRanchers.com, code Jesse. Go get your free ham, all right? We'll be back.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. And remember, you can email the show during the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Love, hate, death threats, ask Dr. Jesse questions. Dear Dr. Kelly, PB&Js, creamy or crunchy, grape or strawberry jelly, Texas toast or thin sliced wheat or white toast? Okay. I love peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I do. And those Smucker's Uncrustable things are glorious. Michael, have you ever had those Uncrustable things? We have some in the freezer? Of course we do. Yeah, we have some of those here in the studio. They're glorious. I prefer creamy on my peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And I love strawberry jam. I like grape jam, but that's not at all my preference. I love strawberry jam. I actually prefer raspberry jam over any others. Creamy peanut butter, raspberry jam. All that said, I love crunchy peanut butter. My family doesn't like it, so we haven't had it in the house in ages. But I love crunchy peanut butter. We just recently had a mini revolt, you remember, in our house. You know the wife... You know my wife is a gymnast, right? She was on the Canadian national team. She went to University of Arizona on a full ride scholarship and made nationals several times. This woman, so she's one of these elite athletes, and she's a health freak because of all that. Nah, that's not good for you. That's not good for you. So she's always doing the best she can to try to make me and the boys eat healthier, even though we resist. And look, we abide by a lot of these things because I do want to be healthier. When she makes me a smoothie in the morning, she pours that chocolate powder from Chalk. Thank you, Chalk. When she pours that in it, I drink it. I drink it. Even though it has a bunch of kale and spinach and stuff like that, I drink it. I know I need my veggies. I know I need my vitamins. I know I need that. So I don't want to act like I reject all these things. I really don't. I really don't. But we had to draw the line at the quote, I think it was organic peanut butter she got. It was just the most disgusting thing ever. And it developed this oil on it. You would open it up once and then there's an oil. It was so gross that the boys, we finally had enough. I started buying peanut butter, just normal peanut butter when I go to the grocery store and just waiting for her to find it in the pantry. And then we had to have it out one day. Me and the boys, we presented a united front. We want our peanut butter back. And now we have peanut butter back in the house. Jesse, our insurance company sent out a mailing with a picture of two dudes getting married. As Christians, we do not agree with that lifestyle. It is time for us to renew our policies. Do we shop around for new insurance? I'm worried if we switch to another company, we may be in the same boat next year. Also, if we switch, do I tell my company my reason for switching? I'm trying to do the right thing. Doesn't want me to use her name and I won't. No, you switch. You switch companies. And then you tell them why you're switching companies. It's important to tell them why. It's important that we began to punish corporate America. Punish corporate America. This is not something we have done in the past. We have failed at this time and time again. In fact, I remember for most of my life, the right would brag that they didn't participate in boycotts. We don't do boycotts. That's what the left does. No, we don't do boycotts. Hold on a minute. So let me see if I understand this right. You're bragging that you won't use the power you have to enforce your will? And you think that that's somehow admirable? The communist doesn't find that admirable at all. He thinks you're a gigantic sucker. Part of the reason corporate America has been brought to heel by the communist is he was the only one who cared enough to attack corporate America. The right loves to be, look, this has been the Nikki Haley, thank you for this. This has been the philosophy of the right for as long as I can remember.
Finally, I know when you met with Larry Fink, did you have a chance to bring up, BlackRock in the past has been a big supporter of ESG, which has been very criticized, heavily criticized by Republicans. Are you concerned about that policy?
Again, I'll do what I did in South Carolina. I partnered with my businesses. I use them as a resource. One, they hire people that we need to hire. They help us with our economy. But I also shared in South Carolina with my businesses, the threats, the issues, the keys that we needed. It's about heavy communication. You want your businesses to be successful, but we also want to focus on the national security of our country, and we want to make sure that we get America back.
We partnered with our businesses. No. As soon as your business declares itself to be my enemy, then I will treat you as if you're an enemy. That was a point I was trying to make earlier about Disney. Disney is not bad. Disney is evil. They are attacking the children of this nation. They are attempting to break and destroy the children of this nation. That is an evil organization, and I will treat them as if they're an enemy. They most definitely think I am an enemy, so enemies we are. It's not a source. It's not something to be admired if you don't have enemies or if you don't treat your enemies as if they're enemies. That's not something to be admired at all. Now, we do also have to patronize companies that are our friends. When I tell you to go buy some Mai Tais from MyPillow, it's not only because they are the greatest freaking towels. They are. It's not even because they're 50% off right now. It's not that. Mike Lindell, MyPillow, they've spent a fortune engaging in politics on our behalf, on your behalf, on my behalf. I like shopping there. I like when we go put in a MyPillow order, which we put in a MyPillow order every 6 months in my house. We get a hold of friends, family, extended family. Who wants something from MyPillow? I like spending my money there. Go spend your money there. Look, do you need towels? Is that something you need? If you don't need them, don't bother. But if you could use some towels, $29.98, you get a 6-piece towel set right now from MyPillow. $20 more gets you a designer premium line. If no other reason than to say thank you. MyPillow.com, promo code Jesse, and now through December 12th, free shipping. No minimum spend required. How about that? MyPillow.com, promo code Jesse. Jesse, why did you train so much with a handgun? I thought Marines were riflemen. Do mortarmen not carry a rifle? Oh, well, we did a couple. There were a couple different reasons I ended up training so much with a handgun. One, yes, eventually you can, it was depending, I won't go into the details of it. You could draw a pistol in mortars as one of your weapons. That was one. Two, remember how I told you they made me go be a cop for a while I was in the Marines? We were always at the range training with our pistols. That's part of the reason why I got so much pistol practice. And three, our company gunny at the time, he was eventually first sergeant, retired sergeant major. In fact, he's probably listening to the show right now. Great man. He upped our training significantly before Iraq. He was one of these former spec op types, so he knew what he was doing. He really jacked our training up. All right. I mean, in a good way. He really ratcheted our training up is what I'm trying to say. All right. 2 hours left. Endless questions and fun. Hang on.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.